Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. At that time, you may press star one to ask a question from the phone lines. I'd like to inform all parties that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now like to turn the call over to your host, Dr. Ken Calvert. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
And welcome to this webinar about the CNS CORE program for fiscal year 2019. My name is Calvert, and I'm the Division Director for the Division of Network Systems and the Directorate for Computer and Information Science and Engineering at NSF. And with me are Program Directors Sammy Kahn, Darlene Fisher, and the Deputy Division Director of CNS, Jeremy Epstein. This year, we've done a major revision of the CNS CORE solicitation. And this revision is motivated by a couple of observations. The first is that our field, computer systems and networking, moves very quickly. One of our biggest challenges is determining where we should be leading and where others, and that in particular industry and academia, are or can be leading. Hard to predict where things are going. Hard to keep up. Second observation is that the distinction between computer systems and networking has become somewhat arbitrary. The vast majority of implemented computing and networking systems today, from mobile phones to data centers to the networks that interconnect everything, include components that perform computation, components that store information, and components that enable communication among the other components. Moreover, increasingly, all these components are dynamically customizable and programmable. These observations have motivated two major changes in the solicitation. First, you'll be submitting your proposals to a single program, CNS CORE program. And we've done this to highlight the fact that these boundaries are blurred and to encourage cross-fertilization among CNS areas. Obviously, researchers' expertise will typically be focused on one component or aspect of the system, whether it be operating systems, file systems, networks, or what have you. And internally, we still have NETs and computer systems clusters of NETs. But we want to encourage researchers to cross the aisle, so to speak, to work with others in different parts of the system stack. Second big change is that rather than provide a list of research topics, we focused on characteristics of systems, what we want out of them, and we want to encourage the community to think about as many of these aspects as possible. You'll hear more about this later, but general requirements are those that always or almost always apply. Security, reliability, correctness, manageability, and cost effectiveness are among the characteristics that make systems useful. On the other hand, the importance of some requirements depends on the context in which the system operates. In some cases, performance is paramount. In other cases, we may be willing to trade performance to get something else, for example, mobility or lower cost or increased privacy. Of course, researchers are always looking for ways to improve along all of these dimensions, and they've generally done very well at that over the last few decades. But increasingly, and especially as Moore's Law runs out of gas, there will be trade-offs. And that's a lot of what systems research is about, understanding those trade-offs and how to navigate them. That's where we believe cross-fertilization can pay dividends. Also, it tends to be easier to obtain results in dimensions that are easy to measure, performance being the prime example. So our community naturally tends to focus its efforts there. Although performance has always been important, in many areas, these other characteristics are arguably at least as important. So we want to encourage people to consider other aspects, even if they're harder to measure. Before I turn things over to Sammy and Darlene, I want to stress that we're not narrowing the scope of the program. We're not excluding topics that were previously in scope, although we do encourage everyone to take a step back and consider the impact of their work. Now, Sammy and Darlene and Jeremy will take you through the details of the solicitation.
Thank you, Dr. Calvert. Given this vision for the solicitation, research of interest for this solicitation will explore fundamental principles and create innovative technologies, protocols, and systems that define the future or perhaps more realistically, harness current and emerging technologies, trends, and applications. Search of interest for this solicitation will produce practical abstractions, techniques, tools, artifacts, or data sets that address or enhance both general and functional requirements. Search of interest for this solicitation will reflect a clear understanding of what each component does and how it interacts with the rest of the system and the environment. Search of interest for this solicitation will reflect a clear will disseminate artifacts in such a way that others can interpret, reproduce, validate, or otherwise verify the results. Although purely intellectual investigations are within scope, research that takes into account current and future societal needs is highly encouraged.
The solicitation notes that a hallmark of computer and networking systems research is understanding the trade-offs that must be navigated when designing and implementing these systems. However, too often in making trade-off choices, security loses out to performance or functionality, for example. Yet we all realize that security is critically important. This solicitation specifically emphasizes security by design, thus making security a first-class citizen. It challenges researchers to ask, for example, what will it take to ensure integrity and confidentiality of network systems and data? Can we delineate permissible actions, enforce compliance, and establish security defaults in design processes? Can we, by design, anticipate vulnerabilities and provide defenses against unforeseen attacks? Please note that exclusive focus on cybersecurity threats and countermeasures would be a better fit for SASE's program.
Another key element being called out to consider when developing systems for the future is robustness. For example, how can systems, existing and future, be made more adaptable and resilient to natural and anthropogenic hazards, for example, weather events, malware, sabotage, as well as other normal and expected events, such as component failures, misconfigurations, or load. For example, consider what innovative approaches would enable one to ensure system robustness and to identify, communicate, and mitigate system anomalies in real time for outages at both small and large scale. The examples provided in the solicitation are only meant to spark interest in the community. Think about robustness and improving current systems and designs.
Systems are becoming more and more complex and need to support a growing number of applications that are diverse. We must ask what new architectures, protocols, measurements, and monitoring capabilities can aid in overall systems management and provide support for application developers. How can we meet the challenges of comprehensive, pervasive, and accurate measurement capabilities, near real-term analytics, and system management when the systems are massive and at the scale of the internet? Can we design and implement truly autonomous systems which are self-managing by design?
In general, any topic having to do with augmenting, understanding, enhancing, or transforming computing and communication systems undertaken from a systems point of view is within scope. Issues that reside primarily at the device or application level and that are highly context-specific will not be considered a good fit for this program. Projects that focus exclusively or primarily on cybersecurity threats and countermeasures may be a better fit for the Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace SATSE program. Projects focus primarily on design or enhancements of sensing and control systems that interact with the physical world may be a better fit for the Cyber Physical System EPS program.
Science by design requires that research results be validated. We highly recommend including a project validation plan in the proposal. Important components include describing the underlying setup, processes, mechanisms, and metrics to assess success, as well as clearly describing the level of abstraction at which the underlying research is validated. Validation may be undertaken through hypothesis testing using simulation, emulation, test beds, or a combination of these. We recommend using existing test beds instead of creating your own. We also recognize that architecture research validation may have a longer time scale than the duration of the project, in which case you must include in your proposal a long-term validation approach for architectural validation. Please note that the project validation plan is to be included within the project description.
We are requesting investigators to include a detailed results dissemination plan when submitting proposals. Please note that this is different from the data management plan, which has the goal of highlighting plans for data curation. The results dissemination plan must provide details on the scaffolding provided by the PIs to ensure that the research results, for example, data, programs, logs, test cases, emulators, simulators, etc., produced will be made available to the extent necessary to validate the findings independently, as indicated in the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guideline, EAPPG. This criterion is to facilitate reproducibility of results, which in turn will facilitate collaborations among the system researchers. Note that the results submission plan is to be included as a supplementary document.
The CNS core programs require a data management plan. They are standard size reporting requirements, including, for example, the description of types of data, software, curriculum materials, and other materials generated for the project. In addition, we ask you to describe steps to ensure that artifacts are available for the use by the community and a stated reasonable time beyond the end of the project. Please note that the data management plan is to be included as a supplementary document.
Because the success of collaborative research efforts is known to depend on thoughtful coordination mechanisms that regularly bring together various research participants of a project, a separate collaboration plan is required for all large and medium projects with more than one investigator. Collaboration plans are optional for small proposals, but encouraged. Please note that the collaboration plan is to be included as a supplementary document. For all proposals, reviewers will be asked to consider how well does the proposed work address and advance the following: secure by design systems, systems robustness, manageability of the system under consideration, and or fundamental understanding of the system or system component. Note that at least one of the aforementioned aspects must be present. It is not necessary that all four elements should be present. The reviewers will be asked to specifically comment on the following aspects as well. How well does the proposal describe an evaluation plan that assesses and, where appropriate, quantifies the expected research outcomes? How well does the proposal describe research dissemination plans to ensure that the research results can be validated independently? For large and relevant medium proposals, reviewers will be asked to comment on the extent to which the project scope justifies the level of investment requested and the degree to which the collaboration plan, if required, adequately demonstrates that the participating investigators will work synergistically to accomplish project objectives. For large and relevant medium proposals, reviewers will be asked to comment on whether key personnel, and especially lead PIs, have allocated adequate time for both their individual technical contributions and the leadership of collaborative activities necessary to realize the synergistic activities that affect the large-scale research. At this moment, let me call upon Jeremy Epstein, the Deputy Division Director of CNS, to detail other important changes in the solicitation.
Good afternoon. SIZE is committed to broadening the participation of underrepresented populations in computing and closely related disciplines. SIZE strongly encourages meaningful actions that address the long-standing underrepresentation of various populations, including women, persons with disabilities, and minorities, African Americans, Hispanics, American Indians, Alaska Natives, Native Hawaiians, Native Pacific Islanders, and persons from economically disadvantaged backgrounds in computing. Consequently, for this solicitation, SIZE is expanding its pilot efforts started last year. Each medium and large project is strongly encouraged to include a 1 to 3 page Broadening Participation in Computing, or BPC plan, as a supplementary document. Plans included with submissions will be reviewed by BPC experts before the regular panel review. If your award is recommended for funding, the program officer will work with PIs on the plan, which must be approved by the time of the award. Although a BPC plan is not mandatory for the small projects, we are encouraging the community to consider including them. SIZE intends to conduct an evaluation of the effectiveness of the current pilot and determine appropriate next steps, including potential further expansion of this effort in future years. I encourage the community to please look at the URL shown on the screen for more details on BPC. This URL was also included in the solicitation. And I should also note that this BPC things that I've just discussed also apply to all of our other core programs for mediums and larges as well. Excuse me. Proposals may only be submitted by the following: institutions of higher education, IHEs, 2- and 4-year IHEs, including community colleges, accredited in and having a campus located in the U.S., acting on behalf of their faculty members. Special instructions for international branch campuses of U.S. IHEs are that if the proposal includes funding to be provided to an international branch campus of a U.S. institution of higher education, including through the use of subawards and consultant arrangements, the proposer must explain the benefits to the project of performance at the international branch campus and justify why the project activities cannot be performed at U.S. campus. Nonprofit, non-academic organizations, including independent museums, observatories, research labs, professional societies, and similar organizations in the U.S. associated with educational or research activities may also submit. As of the submission deadline, PIs, co-PIs, or other senior personnel must hold primary, full-time, paid appointments in research or teaching positions at U.S.-based campuses and offices of organizations eligible to submit to this solicitation, as described above, with exceptions granted for family or medical needs and as determined by the submitting institution. Individuals with primary appointments at for-profit, non-academic organizations or overseas branch campuses of U.S. IHEs are not eligible, even if they also have an appointment at the U.S. campus. Excuse me. Please note that it is the submitter's home institution's responsibility to determine the full-time status before submission. If further clarifications must be sought, please contact one of the Cognizant program officers listed for this solicitation. In any contiguous September through November period, an individual may participate as a PI, co-PI, or senior personnel in no more than 2 proposals across all size classes submitted in response to the coordinated solicitation. Coordinated solicitations is defined as computer and network systems core programs, this program we're discussing here today, the Computing and Communications Foundation core programs, the Information and Intelligence Systems core programs, and the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure core programs solicitations. For example, between September 2018 and November 2018, an individual may participate as a PI, co-PI, or senior personnel submitted to 1 core program in CCF and in a 2nd proposal submitted to a core program in CNS, or an individual may participate as a PI, co-PI, or senior personnel in 2 proposals submitted to an IIS core program, et cetera. These eligibility constraints will be strictly enforced to treat everyone fairly and consistently. If an individual exceeds the limit, proposals received within the limit will be accepted based on the earliest date and time of proposal submission, i.e. the first 2 proposals will be received, the first two proposals received will be accepted, and the remainder will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. Note that the limit I just described on the limit of proposals per PI, co-PI, or senior personnel applies only to the coordinated solicitations. Subawards are not permitted to overseas branch campuses of U.S.-based proposing organizations eligible to submit to this solicitation.
The CNS CORE program expects to fund between 100 and 150 grants and anticipates the total funding for this CNS CORE program will be $60 million. Thank you. There are three classes of project sizes, small, medium, and large. And the exact sizes in terms of allowable project durations and project ranges are specified on this slide and also in the solicitation. The submission window for both medium and large projects is September 24th to October 2nd, 2018, and the submission window for small projects is November 2nd through November 15th, 2018.
To avoid overdue reports blocking award actions during the end of the fiscal year, the institutions are discouraged from seeking project dates starting between July 2nd and September 30th of a given year. Awardee institutions may incur allowable pre-award costs within the 90-day period immediately preceding the start date of the grant, subject to the conditions specified in the PAPPG. This will allow support for students or other relevant activities to begin over this period.
Titles begin with CNS-CORE, followed by the project size description such as small or medium, followed by the title. Exceptions include a secondary program for possible co-review. I'll give as an example, CHS or Cyber Human Systems. Note, please use the acronym for the program, not the division. Use collaborative research if submitted by two or more institutions. GOLI or RUI are special program designations you might want to include if appropriate. Items always are separated by a colon and a single space. Let me detail some important changes in the proposal submission. The foremost is inclusion of keywords. These keywords are included to provide guidance to the program directors to best match reviewers and proposals. Proposals are required to select keywords in each of the following four dimensions. The first dimension describes the most relevant systems topic area. The second dimension identifies the context or class of systems. The third dimension corresponds to the primary goal or objective of the proposed work. And the fourth dimension indicates any specialized knowledge or techniques to be applied. Because such sets cannot be constructed exhaustively, proposers can specify up to six additional proposal-specific keywords that would, in their opinion, adequately capture the proposed system research. Details on each of these dimensions and the usage of additional keywords will be provided shortly. On the screen, we see the keywords for the first dimension, the topic area, which consists and composes the depth and breadth of CNS topic areas. These keywords are also listed in the solicitation. On the screen, you can see the keywords for the second dimension, the target context or platform class. These keywords are also listed in the solicitation. Again, please note the proposed research may have multiple target contexts or platform classes. On the screen, we can see the keywords for the third dimension, the target requirements. Please note the proposed research may have multiple target requirements, for example, power and performance. Again, these keywords are listed in the solicitation. Some proposals include techniques that are often mathematical, such as graph, control, or game theory, and And other examples include machine learning or network coding. In such cases, we would like you to include the names of such techniques in order to have your work reviewed by appropriate experts from the CNS community who are also knowledgeable about these techniques. You may also select none as an option. You may add up to 6 additional proposal-specific keywords that best describe your work. The solicitation instructs you on the format for listing these keywords.
To assist the community in understanding how one can include appropriate keywords in their submission, consider the following. For example, a proposal using machine learning to develop low-cost file system abstractions for content delivery in low-latency edge environments may have the following string in the keyword field. File systems within square brackets, access networks within square brackets, cost and performance with the square brackets with a delimiter of a comma, machine learning within a square bracket. A project focused on compilers to enhance manageability in enterprise networks could have the following as keywords. Compilers and programming languages within square brackets. Enterprise networks within square brackets. Manageability within square brackets. None as a keyword, square bracket. A proposal on millimeter wave beamforming using machine learning could have the following keywords as shown on the screen. Wireless networks within square brackets, access networks within square brackets, performance within square brackets, machine learning within square brackets, followed by millimeter wave forming separated with a comma. Note that keywords added at the end did not add the square brackets. These and other examples are listed in the solicitation. Remember that the list of keywords should be the last paragraph of the overview section of the project summary.
Project description must describe the research and education activities to be undertaken and up to 15 pages for small and medium proposals, and up to 20 pages for large proposals. Proposals exceed these limits will be returned without review.
In the supplementary documents section, upload the following information where relevant. List of project personnel and partner institutions. Collaborative proposals, the lead institutions should provide this information for all participants. Provide current, accurate information for all personnel and institutions involved in the project. NSF staff will use this information in the merit review process to manage reviewer selection. This must include all TIs, co-PIs, senior personnel, paid and unpaid consultants or collaborators, sub-awardees, postdocs, and project-level advisory committee members. The length of and degree of detail provided in the collaboration plan should commensurate with the complexity of the proposed project. Collaborative proposals, the lead institution should provide this information for all parts. If a large proposal or a medium proposal with more than one investigator does not include a collaboration plan of up to 2 pages, that proposal will be returned without review. A data management plan, results dissemination plan, and a VPC plan, if applicable, are to be uploaded as supplementary documents as detailed previously.
On the screen, you can see the names and contact emails of all the TDs involved in this solicitation. Please feel free to contact them should you have any questions or concerns. Thank you all for your attention. Operator, we are now ready to take questions from the audience, or should we start with the audience? Okay. As you queue those up, we also have some questions we think might be of interest to the community.
So there are three questions. Let me start off while operator queues up the rest of the question. The first one is, my research domain is not adequately reflected in the keywords. What do I do? So the answer to that question is, as we had stated previously, these keywords represent the depth and breadth of what we see in CNS. This is not an exhaustive list. Consequently, if you feel that your research, proposed research, is not being adequately represented, you can most certainly utilize the six additional keywords to accurately represent what the underlying research would be. Tony, you want to add anything for this?
No, that's good.
So the second question is, dimension two of these keywords reads networking heavy. Is that where the program is leaning?
No, that's for sure. It's determined by the interest of the PIs, and we expect to see a healthy submission in computer systems research and in networking. And we are particularly interested in seeing those that cross the field.
The third question is, do secure by design and system robustness and manageability, do all of them have to be part of the CNS core proposal that I'm submitting?
Of course, the answer is no. You have to have at least one of them. We're ready for questions from the audience.
Operator, are there any questions from the audience?
To ask a question from the phone lines, please press star 1. You will be prompted to unmute your phone and record your name. Again, it's star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Bill Gibbons. Sir, your line is open.
Yes, you mentioned that the reviewers would be asked to judge whether the PIs have adequate time for both the technical aspects and the leadership of a large project. How would they judge that? I mean, is it just by number of summer months they've committed to it, or is it by number of concurrent awards? How is that to be judged?
I think they will use their judgment. If somebody doesn't have any time on this project or has a very tiny amount of time on this project, it probably is because they have a lot of other projects, and they will. You have to also submit current and pending projects. So I think they will make a judgment across all that information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Iris Barhar. Your line is open.
Hi. My question has to do with the core themes that you have here for CNS versus CCF. You talked about earlier if it has more to do with kind of device level issues. That's not so much CNS, but I do see from what you've described a lot of overlap between CNS and CCF. So how does someone decide which sub-program to submit to?
Is the question, is the overlap between CPS or CCF?
CCF. Did I get the acronym right?
That's correct. Okay. So I would say no. So the way we wrote the solicitation was actually to draw somewhat of a box around what CNS is, and that starts from delimiting ourselves from research on the device level. That's squarely in the foundation arena. So So that's there. As long as your research is looking at a very specific system and then it addresses issues within that system, that would certainly be a CNS research. I would not classify that as a CCF project. In a CCF project, because they're operating on a foundational level, the system, the specific questions arising from a system may or may not have, could be a very generic system. That could be it.
Some devices are also within engineering. So if you're just about designing the device itself and that's the focus of what you're doing, then it's probably not appropriate
sure.
for CNS. Also, when you submit a proposal, it's better to ask before submitting so we can you can both target and figure out what project, what program you should be submitting to. But should a proposal come in and there's question, the program directors individually and collectively look at the proposals to find the best home. We always try to find the best home where it's the best match between the community, the reviewers, and the proposal.
Okay.
I'd also like to make a comment that, excuse me, it's possible when you submit your proposal to tag more than one program. And that's fine if you want to make sure that two programs look at the same proposal. I want to emphasize very, very strongly, though, tag one proposal with two programs. Don't submit your proposal multiple times. If you do that, they will both be returned without review. So instead of getting two bites at the apple, you'll get 0 bites at the apple. Make sure you put both tags on one proposal.
Okay. Thank you.
Operator, do we have any other questions?
Our next question comes from Mu Chu from Lehigh University. Your line is open.
Hi. I just want to find out two pieces of information. So is the dissemination plan not counted as part of the 15 pages?
The dissemination plan is a supplementary document. The dissemination plan is a supplementary document and it's not count as part of 15 pages. That's correct.
Okay, and my next question is, you say that it's not good to have a start date between July 2nd and September 30th, but some school new semester starts end of the last week of August. So what are we supposed to write as a suggested start date?
In that case, I would suggest you request an October 1st start date, and as Semi described, your university may, at their discretion, choose to take advantage of NSF's 90-day pre-award spending authorization so that you
okay.
can beginning your spending as early as June the 1st for an October 1st start date, subject to your university's approval.
Okay, thank you.
I think, Sammy, you were going to say something else about the dissemination plan.
Yeah, so I think if you go back to the solicitation, the project validation plan, that has to be part of the 15 pages.
Yeah.
Not the data management plan or results plan. Let me try to emphasize the results dissemination plan and the data management plan are two different entities, and you have to treat them two different entities when submitting. The data management plan is your day-to-day dealing with your data that you generate, consume, to produce some results. So this could be some setup in your lab or your university or things of that nature. The result dissemination plan is the final outcome artifact that you are required to tell us about how you're going to put in place the scaffolding so that it would reach out to everybody in our as much as possible in our community. These could be in the form of the results, the papers published, how you got a graph in a paper,
the logs that you use, the test cases, the and any other artifact that would enable and catapult research in our community.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Miriam Leeser. Your line is open.
Hi. So my question gets back to the whole devices issue. So if we're writing a proposal that has some hardware development but also some networking system aspects to it, is that appropriate for this program?
It could be appropriate as long as it isn't the major focus. If the hardware development is critical to the research, yes, it could be. It could be. You might want to talk to the program director before submitting that proposal, but I'd say in general it could very well be appropriate.
So if the hardware development is central, but it's part of a whole stack that has to do with wireless networking, then you're saying it is appropriate.
It may be appropriate. I would, again, talk to the program director for the specifics of that, of what you're submitting.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Shirash Shin. Your line is open.
Hello. I had a similar question about the start date. So it seems like because some of the core program goals up, decisions are pending until July, it makes sense to have October 1 of the following year as the start date. Is that correct?
Repeat that, please. I'm sorry, I didn't follow.
So I was saying that since some of the core program decisions are still not out until the July of the following year, it seems like it makes sense to have October 1st at the start date. Is that correct?
If yes, in general, if you're going to start the research early in the summer, though, you could request an earlier start date, and if we decide to make that award and are unable to make that, then we could, we'll tell you that we're moving it to October 1st. But if you want to request a June 1st date, you're free to do that, for example. If there's nothing preventing you from doing that, we're just saying not July 2nd through September 30th.
Understood. But October 1st is not seen as something too late, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. So we had a question from Pat. I'm going to read it out loud. The question is, what is the effect of eliminating NETS as a separate program solicitation? Does that change the focus of what topics are considered for CNS?
So the answer is no. As Ken said at the beginning, purpose is not to restrict what is appropriate to submit, and anything that was appropriate last year is appropriate this year. So, of course, you can submit a networking proposal as you can submit a computer systems research proposal. We are simply changing the solicitation to say how welcoming we want to be to projects that cross and combine the two.
Let me add a little bit more. I think this resonates with what we have seen and we are continuing to see in our portfolio, which is a very systems view of the systems research. Most of the proposals, I would like to say that it does have a significant networking and systems component, and we would certainly like to welcome that and encourage our community to think of problems in that particular domain, but certainly it's not to exclude any of the pure networking or pure computer systems researchers for this.
Another question from TV Land. Quote, one deadline per year is a really bad idea, since if we missed the November window, we would have to wait the whole year for the next submission year. What do you think about this? Will you offer two windows per year? Close quote. So we have considered a lot of different options, and for those of you in the security space, you may know that the FATC program has moved this year deadlines model. We're going to learn from that experience, and that may affect what we do in the future. But this year, once the solicitation is out, it's out. There will not be a change in fiscal year 19. The deadlines you see are the deadlines. Next question from the phone, please.
And next question comes from Amlan Ganguly. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking questions. So I wanted to ask about the three major components that the solicitation has and that you spoke about. Is there a sense of priority between them that, you know, any order of, you know, requirement, or they're all equivalent? I mean, one or more can be included in, and the set is kind of like no priority between them.
We do not have a concept of priority on these. So you need to decide what's appropriate, and also in terms of the scope of the project that you submit, how many of these both are appropriate and are within the scope in terms of PIs working on a duration and the problem.
Depending on the particular system that is the target platform, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Now, the reviewers will look at the review questions, and they may say, well, there is none of the question number one, but there is on two, and then they'll evaluate it, and they may say, well, there's not three, and it's not required, so we'll focus on the second one. But they will be asked to look at each of the three of them, and it's certainly okay not to address all of them.
Okay.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Shahir Nirjan. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking questions. So I see there are at least two new documents in the supplementary document section that are like broader participation and research dissemination. Now, usually we articulate these things in the broader impact section inside the proposal description. I was wondering, like, with this new change, are we now expected to spend a little less space on the proposal body for broader impacts and refer them to the directly to the supplementary documents with this new change?
Great question. So broadening participation is an aspect of broader impacts, but two are not synonymous. We expect that within the proposal you will have discussion of the broader impacts, some of which may point to what you're doing in broadening participation and could therefore point to the supplementary document. But you need to discuss broader impacts within the proposal itself. That's a requirement of all NSF proposals. You need to have a section header, in fact, called broader impacts. And if you don't have one of those, the whole proposal can be returned without review. So please do not skip broader impacts in the base proposal. Consider the broadening participation supplementary document to be an opportunity to focus on that specific area, but it's not necessarily the only area.
I would even go further and tell you that there are two fundamental review criteria. One of them is intellectual merit, and the other one is broader impact for the project. So please do not shorten it by any extent, because now you'll say, well, you can refer it to the BPC plan. I would strongly encourage you to read about BPC plan. They're not exactly as we would interpret it as a broader impact. They're a little bit different. There's a broader thinking behind it. I would strongly encourage you to read those documents. They're available on the NSF site's webpage. Now, you can certainly ask us offline. We'll certainly provide you with that information, but it's also embedded in the solicitation as well. So I would encourage you to read that, prepare your BPC plan accordingly, and then put a section about broader impact within your proposal.
Next question from the phone, please.
And our next question comes from Ayaz Koskon. Your line is open.
Hello, this is Aisha. I was going to ask about the distinction between picking the SATC program versus going with the Secure by Design theme. Can you give some examples on what would fit in this program versus SATC?
The emphasis here is on creating and exploring systems with security being built in, and you may be anticipating security issues. It doesn't necessarily have to have a no threat model, but you're actually interested in seeing whether or not we can create systems that are intrinsically more secure. SATC is much more focused on, I would say, a known threat model. I think Jeremy would be better off talking about the SATC approach.
As Jeremy says, SATC does focus on projects that have a threat model and on defenses, attacks and defenses within that, while this program is more focused on the systems as a whole. So there is going to necessarily be overlap between the two. It's not like we can draw a bright line and say everything clearly fits on one side or the other. This would be a case where if you think you're close to the edge, I would encourage you to talk to one of the program officers and ask for input. For those who haven't done this before, the best way to talk to a program officer is to send a one-page summary of your questions and then see if you can ask the program officer to respond by email. Don't send emails to program officers. Send it to one program officer or send one email to all of the program officers, but don't send individual emails to multiple program officers. That frustrates them. In responding, but it's okay to send a one-page summary of your questions to the program officer.
Thank you.
And also, this is the next one because it addresses regarding something I talked about earlier. Says you mentioned the possibility of tagging a proposal with multiple NSF programs. One, will the proposal be reviewed by different programs concurrently? Two, will it be directed to just one at a time and in what order? And three, what if it gets rejected by one? So with respect to the general philosophy is, as Darlene said, for us to find the best home for your proposal. And we use this as guidance to help us figure out where the best home is. And if we agree that multiple programs are, in fact, appropriate, we will review it by multiple programs at once. We don't always review, just because something is submitted to multiple programs doesn't necessarily mean we always review it in all the programs, but you're giving us the guidance that you think that's best. So it's not directed to one at a time, and it's not in a particular order. It is guidance to us to help us figure out the best home relatively quickly. And if it gets rejected by one, that does not necessarily mean it will be rejected altogether. I've certainly seen proposals where one program loved it and another program hated it, and it gets funded. But on the other hand, don't throw multiple programs thinking that that gives you more opportunities. It can sometimes give you fewer opportunities to do a bad job in two areas. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to add up to a good job overall. So use that as an opportunity to give us guidance, but don't try to game the system. Use it to help us understand where your research is.
And it may be that it squarely fits in just one program, and we'll let you know that.
Yeah.
Or it's also possible it may not fit with the stuff that you have tagged it.
Correct.
We go through all the proposals one at a time and find out where is the best home. So if it happens to be the case that it's much more befitting another program, we'll certainly notify the PI and move that the proposal to that program with best.
Okay, I guess I'll take this. I'm doing the less program-specific ones. Does the limit of two proposals per PI apply to all categories together and one submit one medium and two smalls? No. It is two proposals for all core programs put together, BCF, CNS, IIS, and OAC, smalls, mediums, larges, all together, you get two proposals per year. I will comment this does not include careers, CRIIs. It doesn't include things like CRI, SATC, CPS, all the other programs. It only refers to the core programs and only to smalls, mediums, and larges, but it does apply to all of them collectively. Next question from the phone.
And our next question comes from Chong Wei Chin. Your line is open. The next question comes from Hong Wei Chin. Your line is open. The next question comes from Karen Solins. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have two questions, actually. The first one has to do with the fact that now that you have a merged program of systems and networking, despite the fact that one might not want to think this way, people do write toward what the reviewing is going to be like. And with a merged program, the panels may be more varied even than they were before. I mean, I know in networking, we always had, you know, panels on different topics. This is going to be even broader, which means that it's a little harder to figure out exactly what the reviewing is going to be like. So my first question is about how you think you're going to handle that. Let me just say what the second one is, and you can think about it in the meantime. The second has to do with the amounts, the sizes of the projects. They haven't changed in 10 or 15 years. Our expenses and our costs have all gone up. So what that means is that, in fact, the proposals have to be for smaller amounts of work because our costs have all gone up. Salaries have gone up. Tuition has gone up. Stipends have gone up. If I submit a small $500,000 grant, I can do much less with it than I could 15 years ago. So I wanted to find out whether you're thinking about increasing the sizes of those grants at all. So those are the two separate questions.
Let me answer the first one, and then I'll let Sammy and Darlene answer the hard one.
Okay.
We discuss this on a regular basis, and it's a continuous trade-off between more smaller proposals or fewer bigger proposals, and there's no clear answer to that. We certainly understand that you're able to do less with the dollars than you could 10 or 15 years ago, and we have to figure out what we think is the best way to spend a limited budget, and at this point, this is where we're staying, but it's not for lack of discussion.
So as to the first one, I think most people who start with the proposal, put them together, if it's a purely networking proposal, there will be purely networking panelists. Even in the recent past, though, we have had joint panels between CSR and NETS where appropriate, when the research topics are in computer systems research and in networking research. So we're not going to create this joint panel in order to review a purely networking set of proposals and vice versa. So I don't think you have to worry about this merge program in terms of getting appropriately reviewed by the community that understands your proposal.
Okay. Let me urge you to think about slightly higher amounts in your grant levels. Thanks.
Thank you for that feedback. I will take that up with my peers in the management team.
Right.
Next question from the phone, please.
And our next question comes from Nicole Dute. Your line is open.
Yes, I have two questions. The first is about the role of PIs. It says that
under the new scheme, they must be full-time employees of the university. Will that affect soft-funded adjunct faculty? So that's number one. Number two is, can we write in REU grants as part of the core proposals, and how will that affect both the submission length and the budget?
Okay, so with regard to the former, if you're a soft money position, it's up to your university to define what they mean by full-time, and they are attesting when they submit that you are full-time. I certainly expect that there will be people in soft money positions who have full-time positions with the university, and they will have no difficulty submitting. If you have questions about that, you should contact your program officer if there's questions about either by you or by your sponsored research office about eligibility. As for REU supplements, yes, you can still submit REU supplements. It was we basically just removed the text from the solicitation because it was a page and a half of very specific information that was just repeating what was in the REU solicitation. So the REU solicitation states that it applies to all solicitations in NSF, and so that has not changed. You can still put in an embedded REU supplement in your proposal, just as you could before.
Thank you.
So we have a question, and I'm going to read it out loud. The question is, the eligibility criteria precludes any industry partner from being a co-PI or senior personnel, even if he or she may spend decent amount of time on the project in transition to practice or as in kind. I wonder if this generic criteria for all size, this is a generic criteria for all size programs.
So this language about eligibility appears in all of our core programs and the SATC program. I think that was the question. Yes, it does appear in all of the core and SATC programs, we're examining the impact of it before deciding whether it applies, whether we should use that language in other programs as well. Next question from the phone, please.
And our next question comes from Hamid from New Mexico State University. Your line is open.
Hi, I was wondering if the program has any preferred data repository that they would recommend.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Whatever you like.
I think that the key thing that you need to worry about is you should be able to manage that data repository for the time progresses. So I think it's just not, you shouldn't consider it as a dumping site, right? You should make it relevant to the time. How you disseminate the information.
So, Aggies. Next question from the phone, please.
Next question comes from Richard Tang. Your line is open.
Hello. Hi. I guess my question was answered, but I want to double confirm. Can someone submit two CNA proposals and one SAC proposals in 1 year?
The limitation, it applies across the coordinated programs, which is CNS, CCF, IIF, and OAC cores. SAC is not included in the coordinated solicitation.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question from the phone, please.
The next question comes from Kaming Chow. The line is open.
Already, and when they will be available.
Yeah. Okay. Now finish the entire
week. Yeah. Yeah. Finish this and then prepare the slides and then.
One off, please.
Kaming, your line is open.
Not prepared the paper. That's all the data is used.
Operator, will you cut that one off, please? Thank you.
The next question comes from Sanjay Rao.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have a two-part question. The first is if it's a networking proposal that has a theoretical component or an optimization component, is that still appropriate given that there seems to be a stronger systems focus to the joint solicitation? And the second is, what, if anything, has changed from our perspective if we have been submitting to the NETS program in the past? Are there certain topics that are less relevant to the solicitation and less likely to be funded? Or, what should we keep in mind given there's a joint solicitation from a practical perspective?
Well, I have to repeat the first question.
Yeah, the first part is if we have a networking proposal with an algorithmic or theoretical or somewhat of an optimization theory component, is that appropriate given that the joint solicitation is asking for a bigger systems focus?
So if you're trying to improve or impact the algorithmic portion or the optimization algorithm, then it's a CCF proposal. If you are applying that to a networking problem to solve a networking problem, then I would say it's probably appropriate for the NETS program.
Okay. And I guess then the second question is, in terms of proposals people have been submitting in the past, what exactly has changed in terms of what will be funded given it's a joint CSR NETS solicitation? Are certain types of proposals less likely to be funded? Are you trying to encourage certain other types of proposals compared to the past?
I think the key is we're trying to encourage proposals not to look at just being in one or just in the other. We're encouraging the full breadth of topics. So are we less likely to fund something than in the past? No. We're just more likely to also fund things that sit in the middle ground and not just in one side or the other.
Okay. Thank you.
We want to distill back what Ken had said in his opening remarks when he was providing the vision for this program, is to encourage the community to think of bigger problems that are at the intersection of both the systems and networks, and we are seeing more and more of them lately, and we would like to encourage them. I would echo what Jeremy said. We are not going to de-emphasize some fundamental systems work, for example, in compilers or programming languages, because they are a foundation, right? So without those constructs, the system will never get to a maturity state. So it's not to de-emphasize anything that we have been not funding previously. It's just to encourage the community to think of the system as a whole. And it will not be, we're not going to be able to see the results immediately. It's a long-term process. You should also consider that this is the first major change in our solicitation for about a decade. So we are looking at it from a long-term perspective. We will get input from the community on how this is impacting their research and other aspects, and then we'll come back and see, where it leads us or we did the wrong thing. We'll certainly calibrate as we go along. And your input and others' input would be highly appreciated.
So I have a question here from the chat. It says, do you have any thoughts on funding large proposals in CNS? CCF has done away with it in SASE too. Does that portend anything for CNS? So the reason I think that CCF has done away with it is they tend to have more individual research projects. And CNS, we are talking about systems projects which are more complex, which are typically more multidisciplinary, more systems components. And so we want the opportunity for people who have projects and ideas of that ilk to have a home for these larger projects. We are not saying that you should submit a large, You should always go with what is the problem you want to solve, what kind of expertise do you need, how many people do you need on the team in order to approach that problem. Don't start with the size of the project and grow the thing to fit the budget. Start with a problem and figure out what's the appropriate size.
Great description. The only thing I'd add is to ensure that large projects are not a bunch of small things thrown into a single bucket, but rather that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, that you really are solving a large problem and not solving a bunch of small problems.
Stapled together.
Stapled together, yes.
So I'd like to add one more thing, that if you do submit an NSF project of any size, but particularly the large, this is you have signed up for a project that has an integrated goal and sort of an umbrella idea of what the project is supposed to accomplish. So individual researchers should not think that because they get NSF funding, they can go then spend the money on some side project that's not that was not initially part of the overall project, which was proposed and reviewed and funded for the larger theme.
Next question from the phone, please.
The next question comes from Asan El Arabi. Your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I guess my question was answered by Jeremy a few minutes ago, but I'd like to follow up with one more question. This is regarding tagging one proposal with multiple possible programs for review. So once a decision is made and sent to the PI, is there a chance for the PI to come back? I'm saying negative decision. So is it possible that the PI could go back and say to the NSF that, okay, why is it not considered by that program instead of that other program that refused it?
Are you asking about if the shift was is something that the PI doesn't agree with, or are you asking about if the funding decision is something you don't agree with?
If the shift. If I disagree with the shift, and I think that as a PI, we will not be notified of the shift. This is only known at the end when we receive the decision.
Okay. So our practice is to notify you when we do it. I'm not going to claim we're perfect at it. We sometimes make mistakes, but we do try to notify you. And if at the time of notification you feel strongly that we got it wrong, you can tell us that you think that that's not a good decision and why. I'll be honest, when I've seen that happen, it usually has worked to the detriment of the PI, because it's usually indicated that the PI doesn't actually know the details of how the programs operate, and it's usually but not always resulted in a worse outcome. But if you feel strongly, you can feel free to say, no, I really don't want it there, and we will do our best to comply with your preferences.
But once the decision is made, for example, rejected by a program that I put as a secondary and I targeting a primary and it wasn't reviewed by the primary, and the decision is made, so is it possible that it could be reconsidered by the primary?
Sorry, I misunderstood what you were asking. I thought you were talking about at the very beginning when the proposal is first submitted. Once we've made a decision not to fund something, that's a decision. You don't get to go back and say this other program would have considered it differently.
It's also a case on the panel. It might be, for example, in the past, if it was a networking panel, you may think those people only know networking, but in fact, that panel may have a diversity of areas of expertise, or in fact, it is an excellent match with your proposal, even if it's networking panel. So sometimes you just really get a much better match given this particular set of people for a particular panel. That may
okay.
From the outside.
Okay, thank you.
Next question from the phone, please.
Our next question comes from Joe Camp. Your line is open.
Hi. I was wondering about the merger of the two programs, CSR and NETS, and you mentioned the number $60 million. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, how does that compare to the past, and how much is going to be devoted to the synergistic nature of these two programs, and then how much would be roughly allocated to each one of them as they originally stood?
So it's the same bottom line dollar amount as in the past. It's neither up nor down. As for the division, where things come out is going to depend on the quality of proposals. I don't see it going all one way or all the other way, certainly, but where specifically we draw that line is going to depend on the quality of the proposal.
On the specific proposal, whether it gets funded or not gets funded, not the, I'm going to say that CSR, you can't have this, you can't fund this because it's CSR, and last year it would have been a NETS money. I mean, we're not going to do that. We're going to do the best proposal. We really, truly, inside NSF, advocate for the PIs to do the best panel match that we can to make the best decisions. No one person makes a decision. Teams meet to make sure that across panels, the best proposals are put forward. And there, of course, there are some other criteria, like if two proposals are pretty much the same and this person has lots of funding and the other person's a brand new PI, then we may fund the second one as a tiebreaker. So there's lots, and there's no perfect set of awards, but we try extraordinarily hard. We also have to brief our Deputy Division Director Jeremy here and Ken together, and they ask hard questions. You know, as humanly possible, we try to do the best for you.
So, again, I would try to emphasize, if I was on the other side, I was a few years ago, what I would do is I would not bog down into such details. Think about what was the original vision, right? So as Ken stated, for a number of years, many decades, our primary focus or main focus was perhaps just on performance. And now we have come to a state that perhaps performance may not be the primary criteria. We have to fundamentally think about, are we building these systems that are secure by design, right? By fundamentally, they're secure. We're not, you know, leaving security for, you know, for other folks to think about. What if there was a breach, and you know, I'm not going to worry about it. Somebody else is going to worry about it. Are we able to manage these large, gigantic systems in a nice fashion? Are these systems that are built, are they reliable? Are they doing what we asked them to do? Are they manageable? Are they, you know, programmable, and so on and so forth? So. I think that's the whole idea here, and I would, if I was a part of this community, I would really think on those lines rather than, you know, bogging down with, you know, where is the money going, or is it going to be now a single pot of money that we all have to compete with? As Darlene stated, that's never has been our primary decision criteria. Even when CSR and NETS were split, we always, you know, came together and say, you know, here's this proposal that has a definite network component, or here's one which has a system component. What do you think about it? And then so on and so forth. So we've always worked collegially, and I don't expect anything less, but I would fundamentally focus on what is the vision going forward with this solicitation.
And to write your proposal, you know, read the solicitation, read the PAPPG so you know what's required. Spend time writing your proposals, get doing them early. Edit them, make sure you're clear about what you think you're proposing, give it to a colleague and say, what do you think I'm proposing, as opposed to review it, anything that will help you present a better proposal is really where you ought to be spending your time.
Okay, we're way over time, but I don't want to cut people off, so I'm going to ask that we keep questions really short, and we're going to try to keep answers really short, too. So, next quickie question from the phone.
There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay, well, I did it. Any last questions from the chat? I scared them all off. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, very much.
And we look forward to having really outstanding proposals this year. And please contact us if you still have questions. These will be post the slides, the script that we read, and the audio, which includes the FAQs, will be on the website that you used to access this webinar, and it will be at the very bottom of that website.
Tammy, do you want to wrap us up?
No. Thank you so much, everybody, for attending this. We hope that you would take this new solicitation as a positive step going forward. And Darlene and I are looking forward to all of your nice proposals and thoughts, people.
And we have a CSR and a NETS team. It's not just us, so we're all looking forward to seeing these proposals and working together.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. That concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.